Welcome to Abide's Sleep Meditations. I'm Tyler Boss. Today's meditation is brought to you by our partners at Life Audio. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you will find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more. Head over to lifeaudio.com now. Remember, you can have full access to all our sleep stories commercial-free. Just text ABIDE to 22433 for 25% off the app. Now, relax your mind and body as we hear tonight's sleep story.
Hello.
And welcome to the sleep story from Abide. I'm Chloe. And thank you for joining me tonight for Sing to the Lord. Come along with me tonight on an adventure to the land down under, to a famous harbor with a picturesque, iconic opera house. You will see and explore all that this striking performance art center and the harbor all around it has to offer. As you consider the myriad of different musical arts and creative expressions that take the stage, you'll be reminded of the one who is truly worthy of all praise and worship. Psalm 96, verses 1 through 3 reads, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples." There are so many different things that daily receive your adoration and praise. But what about the God who reigns over all? Tonight you'll be encouraged to turn the affection of your heart toward worship, and to open your mouth in song each time you encounter something majestic or praiseworthy. And then our night will conclude in a grand concert hall, listening to the resplendent sounds of a 60-person choir singing a song of praise to our God, who is worthy of it all. As you make your way through this adventure, the Holy Spirit will be prompting your heart to see God for who he really is, the giver of all good things, the sustainer of life, the one most worthy of praise. So come with me now as we relish the goodness of God. Before we dive down under, let's first take a few minutes to prepare your heart and mind for a good night of rest. Remember the words of the psalmist who writes in Psalm chapter 4, verse 8, "In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety." Let this be the foundation of your peaceful sleep tonight, that you would not rest well only if life is easy or if you had a perfect day. Instead, may you find rest because the Lord, and he alone, makes you dwell in safety. As you get ready to sleep, settle into a comfortable position. Take several slow, deep breaths, inhaling through your nose and exhaling through your mouth. As you practice this rhythm of breathing, do so mindfully. As you breathe in slowly through your nose, take a moment to acknowledge that although there may be things stacked against you, the Lord is the one who faithfully and steadily goes before you. As you exhale slowly through your mouth, exhale the anxiety and stress that pressures you to think that you must do it all on your own. You can rest in confidence because God is with you. You can sleep in peace because He is good and He alone is in control. Yes, indeed, the Lord alone makes you dwell in safety. As you continue a rhythm of deep breathing, allow your mind to mentally scan over your body. Pay attention to any muscle or joint that feels particularly stiff or uncomfortable. Let your mind pause on that place of discomfort, stretching as needed to release the tension and alleviate the strain. Now take one more slow, deep breath, connecting with your own body through this mindful reflection. Feel the release as your body relaxes and the tension dissipates, and as you lean fully into the sacred rest of a good and gracious God. Oh, Father God, we come before you tonight in worship and adoration. You are most worthy of our praise. I thank you for your great love and for the care that you have for all your children. Thank you especially for this beloved child of yours. I ask that you would bless them with the gift of rest. As they lie down to sleep, I pray that the peace of your Holy Spirit would surround their heart and mind. I pray Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 over their life, that they would not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present their requests to you, God, that your peace, which transcends all understanding, would guard their hearts and their minds in Christ Jesus. Thank you, God, for the promise of your word. Thank you that we can trust you to guard our hearts and minds with your peace. Thank you for the way it has the ability to change and transform our lives. I pray that you would do so for this beloved child of yours as they sleep. We give you all the glory. And tonight, we lift our voice to join the chorus of angels worshiping your holy name. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. We travel now to the land down under, to the capital of New South Wales, Sydney, Australia. With so much to see and do in this beautiful southeastern state, our time will be spent square in the center of its beauty, in the Sydney Harbour. Imagine with me that you find yourself outside on a sunny day. The sun is warm upon your skin, and a light breeze cools you off as you walk along a wide concrete walkway that leads you to an entrance gate. There are four simple pillars, two on either side of the walkway, none of which are tall in height, but tall enough to frame a gate that serves as a visitor entrance to a unique tourist visitation site. To the right of the pillars is a sign that reads, Queen Elizabeth II Gate, Welcome to the Royal Botanic Garden. You walk through the entrance, eager to explore all that the beautiful garden has to offer, particularly to reach the Sydney Harbour Opera House and to catch a glimpse of the harbour overlooking the iconic bridge. The entrance path sits right along the harbour, and as you look to your left, all you see is the deep blue water of the Sydney Harbour. On your right is a long strip of green grass, various trees, and a long rectangular exhibit with flowers strategically planted so that the bright yellow florals themselves form the words "in bloom." You continue to walk along the pathway that lines the harbour, alternating your gaze between the water on your left and the varying trees and floral setups on your right. You reach a stretch of walkway with trees so large they shade the pathway from the shining sun. The coolness of the shade refreshes you as a cool breeze brings a welcome chill. And before you know it, you're past the looming trees and back in the warm sun. The path curves to the right, and you follow it along. In the distance, you see the skyline of downtown Sydney, skyscrapers towering into the clouds. You pause a moment to reflect on the contrast. In one direction, you see the wonder of a large city at its finest. Bustling businesses housed in high-rises of varying heights, where deals are likely being made in the tiny windows you gaze upon from the ground. If you were closer, you would surely hear the honks of taxi cabs and the hustle and bustle of busy people on busy streets. But when you turn to the other direction, all you see is the sheer beauty of nature. Bright green trees, fully bloomed after the growth of spring, yet not impacted by the autumn that will surely come. Beyond the greenery and the trees is pure blue, the soft baby blue of the sky, speckled with fluffy white clouds, and the deep blue of the harbour water. You consider the juxtaposition of the city and the sea, and it causes you to worship. For although each of these elements are so different from one another, each has cause for praise. The people walking along those city streets and working in skyscrapers high above the ground are all image bearers of the Lord your God. Each and every one is invited to join the chorus of the angels to worship. As the psalmist says, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among the peoples." And on the other side is God's wonderful creation, beckoning worship in its own right. As the prophet Nehemiah writes in chapter 9, verse 6, "You are the Lord, you alone. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve all of them, and the host of heaven worships you." Yes, indeed. The invitation to worship is all around you. Let's continue our walk along the arbor path. As the walkway winds to the right, it opens up to more green space on the left. Space that was long ago filled with trees and various plants that now grow happily in their place. There is a series of trees that captures your attention. As soon as you glance to your feet, you stop in your tracks. Looming high in the sky above you are captivating, expansive banyan trees. You look above, admiring the way the roots begin from the branches, growing from the top down before rooting themselves firmly in the soil. You look at the many different stages of the roots on the tree before you. Some have been growing for as long as the branches themselves, evident in their wide diameter and their deep connection in the earth, while others seem new, barely hanging down from the branches, but growing steadily towards the soil. The path winds yet again, and as it curves to the right, you see it. You've made your way through the gardens to the other side, where the path connects to the courtyard of the Sydney Opera House. Towering behind the incredible Performance Arts Centre, you see the iconic Harbour Bridge completing the picturesque sight. As you continue walking toward it, excited to see the grand structure up close and eager to make your way inside to experience what so many thousands of locals and tourists alike have experienced, a performance. The Performing Arts Centre regularly hosts holiday choral concerts, bringing the magic of Christmas and the story of Christ to the attendees and spreading the cheer of the Christmas season all throughout the year. You've seen the incredible structure from afar, but find it to be even more striking up close. Your head is tilted towards the sky as you walk along the path approaching the building. One of the first things you see is the wide staircase that leads to the entrance. But before entering, you decide to walk around the building, taking it all in. You're surprised to see how the Opera House sits directly on the edge of the harbour, with nothing more than a wide walking path between the art centre and the water. This opera house, built almost 50 years ago, occupies the whole of Bennelong Point in the harbour. You could possibly consider the space surrounding the Performing Arts Centre as a courtyard of sorts, but rather than offering grassy spaces like a typical courtyard might, this space is completely paved. This space stretches from the covered way that leads to the side doors to the iconic steps leading into the opera house, all the way to each edge of the harbour, carefully flanked with a metal railing tall enough to protect passers-by, but short enough to allow guests to admire the beautiful, calm harbour. You continue your walk around, looking up to see the surprising detail in the roof and the underside of the uniquely designed structures that make the Sydney Opera House recognisable all over the world. These notable white arches are often called shells, and there are 14 that make up the roof of the Opera House. If each of the 14 shells were to be put together, they would make a perfect sphere. you're struck by the detail and precision that went into the engineering and architecture of such an incredible building. As you stare up at the shells, you notice for the first time that they are not solid white pieces of material, as it's always seemed from photos, and even from a distance. Instead, you realize they are hundreds of uniquely shaped tiles covering the entirety of each of the shells. You pause for a moment, taking in the enormity of this project, admiring the precision, skill, and design of so many gifted individuals. And it reminds you of the goodness of God. You consider the glory of a God who made man's mind and gave him the ability to think creatively, to design, and to build so magnificently. As you have spent the day walking through the botanic gardens, gazing over the harbour, and now enjoying a feat of another sort, it causes you to worship. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. Yes, even in what seems mundane, we find reasons to glorify and bless the name of the Lord. For he is the creator of all, the giver of all good gifts. After admiring and worshipping, you make your way all the way around the opera house, arriving back at the stairs that you now climb to enter into the opera house. You follow the signs leading you to one of the seven different performing halls held inside the venue, entering a world-renowned concert hall. You walk into the room, complete with a remarkably vaulted ceiling, a mechanical organ that seems to span 2 to 3 stories in height and cover the entire back wall, and a center stage with a 4-tier expanding platform, creating the perfect space for an orchestra or a choral group like you'll be seeing today. One of the more unique elements of this particular room is in the round seating design, where the stage sits in the center of the floor, with stadium-style seating of chairs surrounding the stage. The room is nearly full, bustling with the sounds of quiet conversations coming from your fellow concertgoers, and you walk down the walkway to a row with several open seats. You make your choice from the few available. Shortly after taking your seat, the lights dim and the room hushes to a total silence. A spotlight shines on the center stage and the rustle of footsteps begins. You look to your right and see men filing into the room from a side door. You look to the left and see women entering from the opposite side. The men are dressed in neat black tuxes, complete with cummerbunds and bow ties. The women are dressed in complimentary black gowns, each of them wearing a proud, bright smile and carrying a songbook. The 60-person choir files onto the stage and takes their assigned places, spaced out across the platforms, to form a magnificent-looking ensemble. The crowd claps to welcome them, And as the sound dies down, a tall, thin man with white and grey hair walks from one of the side doors straight to the centre of the stage, where there is a small platform positioned next to a beautiful grand piano. A spotlight shines to the centre of the small platform, highlighting the famed choral conductor. He too is wearing a sharp black tuxedo and raises his hands in welcome before stepping to a microphone and welcoming you to this special performance. He introduces the first piece the choir will be performing, a remake of the famed Christmas hymn, arguably the very first Christmas song ever sung, Mary's Magnifica. He shares that there is something profoundly different about this song and the way the notes are arranged. The conductor goes on to explain that the range of the notes goes beyond what is typically seen in one song, as the notes will climb from a very low to a very high note. The conductor then pauses briefly before adding, "Perhaps the reason this composer chose to go one step beyond the norm was to invite us all to consider the great depth of praise due to one who gave us Jesus. Perhaps a love as wonderful as that is worthy of praise that is not just full, but full beyond measure. And perhaps we ought to worship him in such a way tonight." The spotlight fades from the conductor, and the lights focused on the choir brighten. In unison, the vocalists open their songbooks. The conductor raises his hands. The first note of the organ is played, and the song begins. The sound of the chorus is spectacular, as the conductor directs the many voices to blend together so wonderfully. You listen to the words of the song, rejoicing in the truth that comes straight from God's word. "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour." As you listen, you are moved with a heart of worship, reflecting once again on Psalm 96, verses 1 through 3. "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among the peoples." The chorus continues, finishing the Magnifica and moving on to the other hymns and carols, and all the while you rest in the beauty of worship. Gracious Heavenly Father, you are most worthy of praise, and tonight we magnify your name. Thank you for this beloved child, this precious person that you love so much. I pray once again that you bless them as they sleep. Grant them true rest that comes only by your Spirit, and allow them to sleep peacefully in the confidence that their lives are secure in you. We love you, Lord. Amen. There is no shortage of reasons to sing to the Lord. As you continue to rest in his loving arms, remember the promise of his abiding presence. Sleep peacefully, knowing that you belong to the one who works marvelously, the one who offers salvations, the one who is worthy of all glory and honor and praise. That's all for now. Until next time, may you abide with Christ.